Brachos Daf Ches. We pick it up where we left off yesterday. The bottom of the Amud and Zayin Amud Beis. In Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara quoted 8 statements in total that Rav Yochanan taught us b'shem Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The 8th comment was on the very bottom of the Amud, coming off of a conversation that takes place between Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak convincing Rav Nachman that he should come to shul. Rav Nachman says he's not feeling well. Rav Yitzchak says to Rav Nachman, well, why don't I make a minyan in your house? To that, Rav Nachman also said, tichali milsa, just not up to it. So Rav Yitzchak, one more time, says to Rav Nachman, well, at least what I'll do is I'll send a messenger to tell you what time we're going to be davening in shul, so at least you can coordinate your tefillah so that it coordinates with the tefillah in shul. And Rav Nachman now understood that there's a significance of davening at the same time as they're davening in the shul. Michael Ehayan, Rav Nachman wanted to know, why is this so significant? So we're going to pick it up on the very bottom of Zayin Amud Beis. Amar Leh, so this is Rav Yitzchak's response to Rav Nachman, the Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, based on a comment of Rav Yochanan, who was quoting Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. My Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Vanis Filosich HaShem Eis Ratzon, that there is such a thing as an Eis Ratzon, Emasai Eis Ratzon. When is it an Eis Ratzon? B'Shah Shat Zibra Mispalim, at the time when the minyan is davening. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin Amar Mehalcha, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin derives it from the following, Komar Hashem Beis Ratzon in Yisicha, I answered you at a time of Eis Ratzon, Rabbi Acha Rabbi Chanin Amar Mehalcha. He learns it out from the following pasuk in Eov, Hein Kel Kabir V'lo Yimas. When we call out to a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kabir, in this context Rashi understands Kabir means a tzibur, it's a community, V'lo Yimas, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to reject the tefillah. Uksi Pado B'Shalom Nashim Mekerav Li, Ki Berabim Hayu Imadi. Another pasuk in Tehillim, that we're going to be redeemed bishalom, because we are amongst a group, ki berabim hayu imadi, that we're together with a group and davening with a group. And so therefore, a tefillah b'tzibur has more koach, has more power. Tanya mehachi, the Gemara quotes a braisa supporting this as well. Rabbi Nasan Omri, minayin shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'is b'tfilasim shel rabim. How do I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reject the tefillah that comes from the public? Shenamar, the pasuk says, hein kel kabir velo yimas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at a time when we're davening b'tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reject us. Uksib pado b'shalom nafshi mekarevli. And another pasuk that also speaks to this idea that we also quoted just moments earlier. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ha'osik b'torah v'gmilos chasadim v'mispalim b'tzibur ma'ale ani alav ki'ilu padani li ulevanai mibein umos ha'olam. From this last pasuk, the Gemara derives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that anyone who's involved in Torah and gmilos chasadim and davens with the tzibur, so it's as if you have redeemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with his children from the nations of the world. What do we see from the word shalom? That it incorporates both Torah, Gemilas Chasadim. So take a look at Rashi right here. Rashi writes, Pado B'Shalom, Rashi's third line down, Zasha Asak B'Divrei Shalom. A person who is involved in shalom, Rashi continues to write, Dehainu Torah, that's a reference to Torah, Dechsev, the Pasuk says, V'chon Nisiv Oseh Shalom. V'chein Gemilas Chasadim Nami Shalom. Gemilas Chasadim also falls into the category of shalom. Rashi continues, Shemitoch Shigomel Chesed B'Gufa L'Chavera, by extending yourself and doing kindness to your friend, who makeshuavo, he realizes that you love him. Uvali de achva v'shalom, leads to camaraderie, leads to peace. So both Torah and Chesed are incorporating the word shalom. So that's how we see that shalom is part of the pidyon, together with davening with the tzibur. Continuing now in the Gemara, we're in Chesem and Aleph, the last narrow line. Amri Shlakish Kol Mishi Yeshlo Beis Knesses B'Yiro, anyone who has a shul in their community, Ve'enu Nech Nasham L'Spalal, but doesn't go there to daven, Nikra Shachin Ra, referred to as a bad neighbor. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Ko Amar Hashem, Kol Shochni HaRaim HaNogim B'Nachala Hashenis Nachalti Es Ami Es Yisrael V'Lo Od. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu speaks to this idea that you are a Shochin Ra if you affect the Nachala. The Gemara understands the Nachala over here as referring to a shul that you have in your community. V'Lo Od, the Gemara says, and furthermore, Elishagurm Galas Lo Levanov, causing exile for both you and your children. Shenamar Hinanino Shame Alad Masam Ves Beis Yehuda Atosh Mitocham. Continuing in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the Navi goes on to describe how you're going to be uprooted from your land as a result of the fact that you are being pogea, you're being nogea in not going to shul. Amar Leh Rav Yochanan Ikasabe Bebavo. Amar Leh Rav Yochanan Ikasabe Bebavo. So they report to Rav Yochanan that there were older people in Bavel. Tama, he was amazed. Amar, he said, Laman Yerbu Yimechem Yimei Nechem Al Adama, Ksiv. The bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us that we're going to live a long life, it's only Al HaAdama, which is Eretz Yisrael. Ava B'chutz Arslo, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael, came into Amri Lei, Mekadme Mechashma Lebe Kenishta. But then, as they discovered that people got to shul early and left shul late, Lebe Kenishta, Amri Haina Da'ani Lei. Now Rav Yochanan understood, despite the fact that they're not in Eretz Yisrael, but the schus of going to shul early and leaving late, in that schus, they were able to live long life. Adam Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Livnei. Rav Yishuv ben Levi gives advice to his sons, Kadima v'chashichu. Make sure to get up early and go to shul early, v'chashichu, and stay late. V'aylu lebe kenishta. Ki heche detarchu chaya, so that you'll have an extended life. So this advice of Rav Yishuv ben Levi corroborates this point, that if you go to shul, both going there early and coming home late, so you will have a long life. Amar Abacha b'Rebbi Chanina, my micro. Another pasuk that speaks to this idea: Ashrei Adam Shomer Li Lishkod Al Dasasai Yom Yom Lishmor Mizuzos Pizchai. So the pasuk initially describes that fortunate is a person who is a shokade, constantly at the doorways. Ukziv Asrei Ki Motzei Motzei Chaim. And in doing so, you're going to find life. So again, the same idea, that if you're in shul and you're going to be there for extended hours, the Kadosh Baruch Hu extends your life. A person should walk through two doors in order to get through shul. What does that mean? The Gemara immediately challenges. What does that mean? What does that mean, going through two doors? You have to go in the amount of two doorways and then daven. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Shir Shal Shnei Pesachim Rochav Yichanes Lifnim. So the width of the doorway, take that width, multiply that by two. That's how far you should go into the shul before davening. Shelo Yeshev Samach LePesach. You shouldn't stand by the doorway or even sit by the doorway, says Rashi. Dinir Alav Kimasui Ikuv Beis HaKnesses. By standing so close to the doorway, it looks like shul is a burden. Vihei Mezuman Samach LePesach Latzeis. All you're doing is getting ready to leave the shul. You have an exit strategy to get out of the shul. And so as a result of this, it is critical that you go into the shul two doorways worth. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. There is a hidden Tosfos on this Amud. Take a look at the Bach and Os Hay. So he quotes the Tosfos. And in it, so he discusses this exact point of Rashi. And he quotes the Rashi. He doesn't agree with the Rashi. He writes, you could see, you could follow me in the Bach and Osei. First of all, he comments that the Pesach, the width of the Pesach is 4 amos, so that means that you have to walk 8 amos into the shul, approximately 16 feet. He writes, I'm halfway through the Osei and the Bach, Aval Zeh Eino. Very difficult time with this. The Me'achar Shu Yoshe Bebeis HaKnesses Mali Samach HaPesach Mali Eino Samach. Well, what difference does it make? You're in the shul. You're sitting. So you happen to be either near the entrance or you're not near the entrance. In any way, in any event, you're sitting in shul. V'cheni me'ya beis ha'knesset sarva ha'ya sham rov am. Ba'karchar sarach li'shev karov v'samach le'pesach. And it's a narrow shul, and it's not that big. Someone's got to sit near the doorway. And what are you going to say? That no one's going to be sitting by the doorway? And that whole area is going to be free and clear? He says it's very difficult. Elahachi perusha. So Tosfos rather gives a different shot in the Gemara altogether. What it means is as follows. When you go into shul, don't start davening immediately. What you should do is you should sit down for just a little bit. So that way your mind can settle. Because what are you going to do if you walk into shul and you start davening immediately? It looks like davening is a burning. You're just trying to get it over with. So what you want to do first is sit down, settle your mind, and concentrate on your davening. This is Tosfos' understanding, and so therefore the difference between Rashi and Tosfos is that according to Rashi, the measurement that's given in the Gemara of two doorways is the amount that you have to go into the shul in order to daven, and according to Tosfos, it's the time that it takes to walk two doorways worth in which you have to sit down and settle yourself and then daven, and that by giving the proper attitude to davening. Back to the Gemara. We pick it up at the two dots. Al zos yispalo kol chasid eilecha le'eis matzah. Pasuk in Dehillim says that a person should be davening for an eis matzah, something which is a mitzvah. And what the Gemara is now going to do is give us five different explanations of what you should person should be davening for. What is a mitzvah? Number one, Amar Rabbi Chanina le'eis matzah, zu isha. should be davening for a proper wife. Shenemer, the pasuk says, Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. Pasuk in Mishle, you find a good wife, you find some goodness. Ma'arava, in Eretz Yisrael, Kinesav Inish, Issa. When a man marries a woman, Amri Lei, so they say to him, Hachi, Matzah Omotze. So this new wife of yours, is she a Matzah or is she a Motze? Matzah, Dichsev Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. So is she good, as the pasuk in Mishle just indicated, Vayapek Ritzome Hashem, Motze, Dichsev, Omotze Ani, Marmi Mavis, Asa Isha. Or is it Motze based on the pasuk in Mishle, which describes Motze Ani Marmi Mavis, I found something that is more bitter than death, Es Ha'isha, and that's a woman. So does she fall into the category of Matzah or Motze? Quite honestly, it's a difficult gemara that we just did. What exactly is the back and forth over here? How is this a productive conversation? If already you married her, and the only question is, now would you like to rate her? That's very difficult. Bordering on Lashon Hara. Simple pshat of the Gemara is a little bit difficult over here in terms of what exactly is going to be benefited from such a conversation. Continuing the Gemara, Rabbi Nasan Amar Leis Matzah Zutara. A second pshat in that pasuk in Tehillim in terms of what you should be davening for. The mitzvah that you should be davening for, Rabbi Nasan describes it as Torah. Shenemer ki motze motze chayim. So you should be davening for success in Torah. Third pshat. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Leis Matzah Zumisa. You should be davening for death. But the Gemara immediately clarifies. Shenemer la maves totsaos. Well, first of all, we see that death is a mitziah. That's what the pasuk in Tehillim just described. Now, what does that mean, daven for death? The Gemara immediately explains. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned in the Braisa, Chame Os Veshoshami Ne Misa Nivru Ba'olam. There are 903 ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu can put somebody to death. Shenemer la maves totsaos. Again, going back to the pasuk in Tehillim, Totsaos b'gematria hachi havu. And you look at the gematria at the word Totsaos, it comes out to 903. Kasha shebekulam askara. The harshest of the death is askara. Sometimes translated as diphtheria, some sort of constriction of the passage of air. Nicha shebekulam, the easiest way to die is neshika. We know based on the Midrashim, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam all died through neshika. Askara. The Gemara gives us some way of trying to envision what Askara feels like. It's like a ball of wool that gets caught in thorns, and you're trying to pull the thorns away from the wool, and eventually what's going to happen is that you're going to pull away at the wool. Igadamri, another analogy, kipitura b'fi veshet. It's like taking a thick rope and putting it through a small hole. Rashi over here, interesting Rashi, describes an area in the ocean where there's no metal that can survive over there, and so therefore in order to hold the boat together, so they drilled holes in the wood of the boat and they put these thick ropes through the hole. Obviously the thick rope going through a very thin hole, so that's a lot of friction, and again it's just another way of giving us an analogy of what this askara would somehow feel like. Neshika, on the other hand, the easiest way to die, which is neshika, damya, what is it comparable to? Kemishchal benisa mechava. It's like lifting a hair out of milk. Seamless. Easy. So what a person should daven that he dies an easier death and not a painful death. A fourth suggestion of the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Amar Leis Matzah Zukvura. Proper burial. Amar Rabbi Chanina Maikra, Hasmechim Eli Gil Yasisu Ki Matzu Kever. Pasuk in Iyov describes that a person also should have davening as a mitziah, the kever, and that's the area in which they're going to be buried. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila Haina Dam Inche, and this is an old expression. Libai Inish, a person should daven. Rachame, compassion from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Afila Zibula Basraisa Shama. The last shovel full of dirt that goes on top of you, a person should daven for that as well. Again, the idea is that you should daven for a proper funeral. A fifth suggestion of the Gemara Marzucha Amar Leis Matzah Zubesa Kise. The Eis Matzah, the Messiah that you should be davening for, is proper bathrooms. Back in the good old days, there was no indoor plumbing. Going to the bathroom was an adventure, and not always a pleasant one. Rashi even adds to this point, Rashi says, I'm reading the Rashi inside, well, you live somewhere where the bathroom is close to you. Lefisha haisa karkash above a mitzulas mayim. Water tables in Bavel were very high. Ein yochom lachbor sham chafiros. Very hard to dig a hole over there in Bavel. Vayutzrichem latzeis besados nitzrachek ma'od. And so therefore, when someone had to go to the bathroom, he had to go very far in order to find a bathroom. Amri ben Marav in Eretz Yisrael had the Marzutra Adifa Mikulam. In Eretz Yisrael, they favored Marzutra's Pshat, that the person should be davening for a proper bathroom close to where he lives. They felt that that was the best Pshat of them all. Amalei Rav LeRav and Bar Papa Lemal on Mar Mehani Milim Al Yasa. The Amrei Mishmei Rav Chista B'Mila Debei Kanishta. So Rav makes a request of Rav and Bar Papa. Please repeat to us that which was said over in the name of Rav Chista regarding Shuls. Amalei Hach Amar Rav Chista My Dichsiv. The pasuk says Ohev Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov. Pasuk in Tehillim describing Shuls, Mishkanos Yaakov, Ohev Hashem Sha'arim, Hamtsuyanim Be'alacha, Yosem Mibate Kinesios, Mabate Midrashos. Kadosh Baruch Hu likes not just a shul, but an area designated for learning halacha, and Kadosh Baruch Hu likes it more than a base Knesset and more than a base Medrash. V'hainu damar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami, Mishmei De'ulam, Yom Shechar Beis HaMikdash. From the time that the temple was destroyed, Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Balama Ela Arba Amos Shel Halacha Bavad. What is left in this world is only the four amas of halacha. V'amar Rabbi Meirisha V'garsina Begal Beisa. Originally, what I would do is I would learn at home. And I would daven in shul. Kevin Deshamin Lahad Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula. But then I heard that which was reported in the name of Ula. Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Balama Ela Arba Amos Shel Halacha Bavad. That post Chorban, what's left is only the four amas of halacha. Lo Hava Masina Ela Hecha De'garsina. So the only place in which I would daven is the place that I would learn. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Af Agav, the Havalu, Tleisar, Bekinisha, Betveria. Both for Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, there were 13 shuls in Tveria, Lomasu, Ela, Beni, Amude, Hechadav, Garse. But they would daven only Bein HaAmudim, literally between the pillars. Rashi describes it as some sort of loft that was above them. Apparently, it was an area designated as a base medrash, and they also converted into a shul as well. So that way they could be davening and learning in the same location. Someone who gets benefit from his own work, somebody who's self-sufficient, greater than that of somebody with just Yerushalayim. Pasuk in Tehillim describes fortunate as the person who is Yerei Hashem. But somebody who's self-sufficient, Steve the Pasuk says, Yagiyo kapecha ki sochal ashrecha v'tov lach. Two descriptions given for the person who eats from his own yigia. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tov lach l'olam haba. Fortune in this world and good in the next world to come. L'gabi Yerushalayim v'tov lach l'oksiv be. But when it comes to Yerushalayim, it doesn't say tov lach. So the Gemara says that there's an extra degree of benefit of being independent, being self-sufficient. V'amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami Mishmeidu Ula L'olam Yidur Adam B'makom Rabo. Person should live where his Rebbe lives. She calls man Shimi Ben Gera Kayim, as long as Shimi Ben Gera was alive, Lo Nasa Shlomo Es Bas Paro. Shlomo did not end up marrying the daughter of Paro. V'hatanya Al Yidur. Now we do have another braisa that says that a person should not live where his Rebbe lives. So Lakasha had the Kayifle, had the Lo Kayifle, and the Gemara gives a very simple resolution. If you're ready to listen to your Rebbe, so then it's good to live where he lives. But if you're not ready to listen to your Rebbe, so then do not live where he lives. And Rashi over here cites, V'imlav tovli etzrachik mimenu, v'yishogeg val yimezin. Better that you should be a shogeg. You know that for whatever reasons, you're not ready to listen to your Rebbe, so then better not to hear it, rather than to hear it and to deliberately go against it. Amar Avuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rebbe Menachem, Amar Rebbe Ami Mai Dechsiv, the Pasuk, V'oz v'Hashem Yichalu, Pasuk in Yishayahu, Chazon Yishayahu, that when a person leaves the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he will be destroyed, Zaman Yechsef HaTorah V'yotzei. Person in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah decides to walk out right in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, that's Ozvei Hashem. And that person will be destroyed. Rabbi Abahu Nafik Ben Gavra L'Gavra. Rabbi Abahu did allow himself to leave between aliyas. Vayra Papa Ben Psuk L'Psuk Amahu. What if it's in an aliyah, but it's between psukim? Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Rav Sheshes Mahadra Ape Vigaris. And then the Gemara tells us to practice Rav Sheshes where, during Kriyas HaTorah, he would turn away from the Torah and he would learn. He would learn Mishnayos. Amar anam bididam ve'ina bididu. And he says, I'm doing what I do and they do what they do. I'm learning Mishnayos and they can read from the Torah. Now, obviously, that's very difficult. The Gemara just told us you're not allowed to walk out during the shul, and it's hard to imagine that during Kriyas HaTorah, you're allowed to be doing anything else. The problem is exacerbated if you take a look at Tosus over here. Top Tosus on the Amud, Rav Sheshes Ma'adra, Apei Vigaris, Tosus quotes the Gemara in Sota. Gemara in Sota says that when they're leaning from the Torah, so you're not allowed to say anything. So it's very clear from the Gemara in Sota that you're not allowed to do anything other than listen to Kriyas HaTorah. And even if what you're doing is positive, it's Dvar Halacha that you're not allowed to do. And so obviously what we have is a stira between our Gemara over here and the Gemara in Soto. Our Gemara tells us that Rav Sheshet has learned during Kriyas HaTorah, unabashedly. And meanwhile, the Gemara in Soto says you're not allowed to. The Yesh Lomar, so continuing in Tosos, he writes, HaSamari b'kol ram k'deish lo yivadlu kol Kriyas HaTorah v'hachari b'nachas. So an easy distinction Tosos makes is, well, if you are learning out loud, so then obviously you're being mafriya, you're bothering people over there, and that you're not allowed to do. But if you're learning quietly, and the Tosos assumes that's what Rav Sheshet is doing, so that would be okay. The fact that Rav Sheshet turned his head away from the Sefer Torah, that's a chiddush. Even though he turns his head away from it, and it looks like he's turning away from the Sefer Torah, but it's fine because it's clear that he's learning. And also it helps him concentrate on his learning. And then Tosfos quotes the Rif. And the Rif writes, Rav Asfalas Kasav Da'achi Garsinan or Halachas Gedolos Mefarshe Davka Shiesham Asara Achrine Yazyachu Lomod. According to the Halachas Gedolos, he explains that if there are 10 people in Shul, so now the Kriyas HaTorah is covered. And that allows you to learn. Aval Ein Sham Asara Ki Im Imo Lo. But if there's just 10 people, so then you don't have the right to learn. So, and here, Rav Sheshet is talking about a scenario, the Gemara is talking about a scenario where Rav Sheshet was in addition to 10, there were 10 people outside of Rav Sheshet, and that allowed Rav Sheshet to learn. And the third possible suggestion of Ses Tosfos, and also quoting the Rif, is that for Rav Sheshet, Torah was his occupation, and so therefore, he was allowed to learn Mishnayos, despite the fact that they were learning from the Torah. So, just to quickly recap, so Tosfos notes that the Gemara in Soto says you're not allowed to do anything during Kriyas HaTorah outside of actually listening to the Torah. And meanwhile, in our Gemara here in Brachos and Daf Ches, Rav Sheshet was learning Mishnah during Kriyas HaTorah. And so, three different possible resolutions of the dilemma. One is that if you're learning quietly and you're not being mafriya, that would be okay. Two, in the name of the Rif, if there are 10 people outside of you, so then Kriyas HaTorah can exist with those 10, and you can go ahead and learn. And the third possibility is that Rav Sheshet is unique. He's an outlier. Tarasso umnasso. So three different suggestions. We're going back to the Gemara, and we are on the very bottom of the Amud. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Ami. Lo lam yashlam adam parshi yosef imat zibor. Shnai mikra vecher targum. And so here on Daf Ches and Brachos, in the very bottom of the Amud, we're being introduced to the topic of Shtai Mikra Echa Targum. A person should keep up with the Seder Parshios of the week that are going to be read in Shul, and he should go over the Parsha twice, and then he should read Targum on top of that. The reading of Targum over here is a reference to Targum Unklus. The Gemara Megillah in the beginning talks about Unklus in terms of a little bit of his biography. But anyway, he wrote a running Aramaic translation of the Torah, and so therefore what the Gemara is advocating is that a person should read the Parsha twice every week and read Targum Unklus. Tosfos over here, Tosfos on the very bottom of the Amud that goes to the top of the Amud Beis, so he entertains the idea that maybe the significance of Targum is that it's an Aramaic translation, and so for the people who lived in Babel who only spoke Aramaic, so good, so they read the Aramaic so they would understand. And it's possible, Tosfos entertains the idea that, well, here in France, well, maybe we should be reading, after reading the Parsha twice in the original, so then maybe we should be reading it in French, or whatever the language that's spoken. But Tosfos rejects that idea. Tosfos says very clearly that Targum is more than just a translation. If you take a look at the Tosfos, where he writes on the top of the Amud Beis, Veloni here, second line down, Shari Targum Mefarsh Bameshe In Lomo Min Ha'ivri. Targum is not just a translation. Targum actually gives us an understanding where we wouldn't have understood even from the Hebrew. A number of times throughout Shas, Rav Yosef says that had not been for Targum, I wouldn't know what's going on in the Chumash. So Tosfos feels very strongly that it's bedafka Targum, and has to be Targum because Targum is more than just a translation. Targum is there really helping us understand and interpret words that in and of themselves we wouldn't know what they meant. Going back to the Gemara now, as we're on the very top of the Amud Beis, V'afilo Ataros V'Divon. Now, words like Ataros and Divon, and Rashi says over here, Ein Bo Targum, they're names of locations, and they don't have Targum, but still, what you should do is you should say it twice in the Chumash, and then you should read it again in Targum, even though the Targum is not going to do anything over there. It's not going to help you. Tosfos over here has a discussion of why specifically we're talking about a Taurus and Divon, but we're going to go on the Gemara. Shekol HaMashon Parash Yosef Yimitzibar Marichon Lo Yamo Vushnosim. The Gemara promises that if you're Mar B'Sedra and you keep up with the Parsha twice a week, and then you do it a third time in Targum, so you're going to have an extended life. Rabbi Barabai Savel Ashluminu Le Parshasa De Kulishasa B'Mala Yom HaDikipura. Rabbi Barabai had the following idea. He was going to do two things. A, he was going to cover everything on one day in the beginning of the year, so that way he will be way ahead of everybody, having gone through the entire Parshios of the Chumash. And B, he'll do it on Erev Yom Kippur, and I would imagine, the Gemara doesn't say this, but I would imagine that he does that in order to get his chus for Yom Kippur, going into Yom Kippur. Okay, so that was his big idea. So Tanle Chiyabar Rav Midifti Ksiv. And to that, Chiyabar Rav Midifti says, don't do that. It's not right. The Pasuk says, V'yinisem es nafsho seichem v'tishol echodesh b'erev. Pasuk describing the Tzom of Yom Kippur says that you're going to start fasting on the 9th. Towards the evening. Now the obvious question is, what do you mean you're fasting on the 9th? You're fasting on the 10th. As long as you're eating on the 9th, so Torah considers as if you're fasting both on the 9th day and the 10th day. So there's something unique and something special to eating on the 9th day, and it says if you're eating on the 9th and 10th day. And really what the objection now of the Gemara is that don't spend all your Erev Yom Kippur going through Chumash. Erev Yom Kippur, a good part of it should be dedicated to eating. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And it should be dedicated to Chumash. Now, why is there a special inyan to eat on Erev Yom Kippur outside of the obvious, which is that you're going to fast for the next 25 hours and you like not to be hungry for the next 25 hours? But apparently there's more to that than just simply loading up. And so the number of pshatim that are given, and I'm not going to go through it right now, a piece in Hegyone Halach is written up on this if you'd like to see it. But anyway, continuing in the Gemara, Sabal Akdumuni, so, okay, fine. So he wasn't going to do an Erev Yom Kippur, but fine. But he still wanted to stay ahead. And so what he figured he'll do is he'll go through the entire Chumash sometime in the beginning of the year. So Amalei Ahusaba Tanin Vashalo Yaktim Shalo Yachir. Once again, an elderly person came and said, no, that's not how you're Mar B'Sedra. You're Mar B'Sedra by keeping up with the week that you're in. So this week is Parsha Shmos. So this week, you should be doing Shmos and only Parsha Shmos, reading it twice and doing Targum. And more advice given by Rav Yishuv ben Levi to his sons. We saw advice given on the Amud Aleph, and now we're seeing it on the Amud Beis as well. So one piece of advice that Rav Yishuv ben Levi gives to his kids is to be Mar B'Sedra, like we just said. Number two, Vizar B'Vridim, Ki Rabbi Yehuda, Didan Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Ashish Chodesh V'Vridim. Another piece of advice is to be careful about the V'Vridim. Now, what are the V'Vridim? So when you shecht the bird, so unlike an animal where you shecht an animal, you have to cut through the kind of the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus, but by a bird, you only have to cut one of the simanim. Nevertheless, Rav Yehuda says that when shechting a bird, make sure to also cut through the carotid arteries as well. Why is that so significant? So over there in Chulin, what we learned is that, generally speaking, when you are going to cook an animal, a large animal, so you're not going to just simply roast it whole, but what you're going to do is you're going to cut into pieces. So there's really no problem of extracting the blood, because anyway, we're going to cut the animal into pieces. Masha Inkin, when it comes to a bird. So a bird generally was roasted whole. And so Rav Yehuda says that when you shecht the bird, you want to make sure that you're going to be able to drain as much blood as you can at the beginning, meaning when you shecht it. And so thereby, when you shecht it, so you cut the vridim, you cut the arteries, the main arteries that run up the neck, and that by doing so, you're going to be draining the blood right there at the time of shechita. And that was the practice of Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yishuv ben Levi says that's a practice that you should adopt. He told his sons. Finally, number three, Vizar B'Zakein, Sheshachach Tamudo, Machmas Onso. I want you to have covered for an elder, especially if the elder forgot his learning. And he got old, suffering from Alzheimer's or whatever the case is. But make sure to have covered for such an elderly person, Darminan. And as a way of helping us understand this, Luchos V'Shivri Luchos Menachem V'Aron, that both the Luchos and the broken Luchos were put into the Aron, and you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to have covered not only for the Luchos, but Shivrei Luchos as well. They were both put inside of an Aron. Amalu Rava Levnei, Rava gives advice to his sons, Keshatem Chotchem Basar Atech Techu Al Gav Yad. Make sure not to cut it over your hand. Seems like very straightforward advice, sensible advice. Now, Igadami Mishum Sakana. Now, the Gemara gives two explanations of why that should be. The first one, we all could have guessed. You cut a piece of meat directly over your hand, you may go through the meat, you may go through your hand, and that's a sakana. Another possibility is that even if you don't cut yourself deep, but rather you make a small nick in your hand, but what's going to happen is that there's going to be blood coming out of your hand, dripping onto the table. Everyone's going to see it. No one's going to be interested in eating. So that's one piece of advice. Another, al teshu al mita aramis. A second piece of advice is don't sit on the bed of a non-Jew, a non-Jewish woman. We'll explain that better in just a moment. Al tavru achore beis haknesses b'shash shesibra mispalim. Another piece of advice is don't go behind the shul when the tzibur is davening. And the Gemara goes and explains number two and number three in more detail. Number two. Al teshu al mita aramis, don't sit on the bed of a non-Jewish woman. The Gemara gives a number of explanations of what that could mean. Igadamri, one version is lo, tigana below kriyashma. So one version is that when you go to bed at night, you should not go to bed without saying kriyashma. Or to put that in the positive, say kriyashma when you go to bed. What does that have to do with a non-Jewish woman? So Rashi says it's a metaphor. If you go to bed at night without saying kriyashma, so then what's the difference between you going to bed at night and a guy going to bed at night? It's the same thing. So by saying kriyashma before going to bed, so you're giving your bed, you're imbuing your bed with kedusha. Igad Amri, another version of what he was saying is the lo te nasvu giyursa. Bit of a harsh pshat, but he says to make sure not to marry a convert. The Gemara always has a tension regarding converts in terms of, on one hand, it's laudable, it's an unbelievable heroic act to go ahead and to convert, and at the same time, the Gemara always casts some suspicions. And so there's always that tension that exists in the Gemara regarding a giyuris, and Rava gives advice to his sons not to marry a giyuris. Igadarmi aram is mamish. So the third possibility is that when he advises not to lie down or to sit on the bed of an aramis, he means it just simply literally. And the Gemara gives an episode to help us understand. Mishum Aisa de Rapapa. An episode with Rapapa, the Rapapa Azalagabe Aramis. Rapapa went to a non-Jewish woman. The Gemara doesn't give us details of why or what exactly was happening. But anyway, Hosea Lomita. She took out a bed, Amar Lo, shave. And she instructs him to go sit down on the bed. Bed or couch. Amar La, Ini Yoshev Ashtag Bias Amita. So Rapapa was suspicious. You want me to sit down over here? Why are you instructing me to sit down over here? Do me a favor, lift up the cushion and let me see what's under the bed. Higbia es amita matsu sham tinok meis. And what was underneath the bed was already a dead baby. And what she was planning on doing is having him sit on the bed and then afterwards discovering, quote unquote, discovering the baby and accusing him of killing the baby. And it would have been a blood libel. And from here, the chachamim said, look, don't sit down on the bed of an aramis. It may lead to some sort of blood libel. Gemara continues, Al tavru achori beis haknesses b'shas shatzibur mispalin. Don't walk behind a shul at the time when the tzibur is davening. And the reason why is very simple. In other words, they're davening and you're just walking right behind the shul and right past it. And it's ki'ilu, it's as if it looks like you're not interested. Misayil ala Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, damar Yoshua ben Levi, asol aladim shavur achori beis haknesses b'shas shatzibur mispalin. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi corroborates with this exact point. Amar Abai v'lo Amar Nela Deleika Pischachrina V'alika Pischachrina Le'samba. But then the Gemara puts in and throws in a number of caveats. One, if there's another entrance to the shul, so then there's no problem. A person sees you walking past this entrance, but he'll just assume that you're going into the other entrance. V'lo Amar Nela Deleika Be'kinishtachrina V'alika Be'kinishtachrina Le'samba. Another limitation. If there's another shul in the community, that's fine. So you're going past this shul. They'll just assume that you're going to the other shul. And again, this is only an issue if you're not carrying a load or you're not carrying a package. If you're carrying a package, people understand that right now you're not going into the shul because you're delivering a package. Or let's say, for example, the person's not running. If the person's running past the shul, so people understand that right now, whatever it is that he's doing, it's really important he's running. Or if let's say the person is not wearing tefillin, but if the person's wearing tefillin, again, the casual observer is going to see him going past the shul, but at the same time he's wearing tefillin. He clearly does not have any kind of rebellion against the shul. He's wearing tefillin. For whatever reason, he's not going to shul now, but there's no problem. So if you're carrying a package, or you're wearing tefillin, or you're running, so people will not mistake you're walking past the shul as some sort of rebellion against the shul. And that would be fine. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva B'shosha Dvarim Oye Vanias Amadim. Rabbi Akiva praises the Medes in one of three ways. So, harking back to what we learned earlier, when the Medes would cut their meat, they would cut it on the table and not over their hand. And when they kiss, so they kiss each other on the back of the hand. Perhaps it's more hygienic. And when they seek counsel with one another and want to have private conversations, they make sure to go out to the field. We have a pasuk supporting this as well. The pasuk says, Yaakov wants to speak to his two wives, Rachel and Leah. He wants to have a private conversation with them as he's planning with them how they're going to leave Lavan. He doesn't want anyone to hear it. They go out to the field in order to have this private conversation. We have an expression, the walls have ears. It's an old expression and clearly it comes from this Gemara. Tanya Amar Rabbi Gamliel B'shosh Advarim Ohev Ani Es HaParsim. In three ways, I do like the Persian saying, Snuim B'Achilasan, V'Snuim B'Beis HaKisa, V'Snuim B'Devar Acher. Three acts of modesty. They are modest when they eat, they're modest when they go to the bathroom, and they're modest when they're intimate, when husband and wives are intimate. Anitzi Veselim Mekudashai. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, where I commanded Mekudashai. Mekudashai over here, not to be understood as holy, but rather as designated, like the word Kadesha. Tani Rav Yosef, when Rav Yosef gives pshat, he gives targum on this pasuk in Yeshayahu, he says, Elo HaParsim. This is a reference to the Parsim, HaMukdushim HaZumin LeGehenim. They're going to go to Gehenim. Now the Torah juxtaposes these two statements, one of Rav Yosef, right along the statement of Rabbi Gamliel, probably to tell us that even though, despite the fact that Rabbi Gamliel is praising them over these acts, but the Gemara also tells us, just because in a couple of areas they are praiseworthy, that doesn't mean that they are necessarily good people. And the Gemara actually says it in much clearer terms. Okay, Adkan Divrei Agadata, that was a lot of Agadata that comes up over the course of today's Gemara. We're going to be doing a little bit of Halacha to finish off today's Daf. Just as a quick recap of what we've been covering up until now, we started with the importance, the significance of davening b'tzibur, either davening with a minyan, or at least, in the very least, davening at the same time of the minyan. And the Gemara spent some time talking about the koach of davening with a tzibur. Gemara mentions the halach of going into a shul. Exactly what does that mean? We saw Rashi Tosfos. Rashi says that you have to walk interior to the shul. According to Tosfos, it means that you have to sit down and settle your mind, and then start davening. Another halacha that we did this morning was extending, if you spend extended time in shul, your life will be extended. That was Rav Yochanan's comment on the people in Bavel, despite the fact that they're not living in Eretz Yisrael. They nevertheless are going to have extended life for being in shul for extended time. We talked about the double door. Again, that was the Rashi and Tosfos that I mentioned just moments earlier. What exactly to daven for? You're davening for a mitzvah. What exactly does that mean? So we saw five pshatim. Davening for a wife, davening for success in Torah, davening for a easy death, davening for a proper burial, and davening for a good bathroom. We spoke about the significance of learning halacha and coordinating the areas of learning halacha and learning Torah. And the two places should be coordinated. The Gemara spoke about the importance of self-sufficiency. The Gemara talked about the significance of living with your Rebbe, but only if you plan on listening to him. Leaving shul during laning. The Gemara says that one is not allowed to leave shul in the middle of an aliyah. Being gavra l'gavra, the Gemara says, is fine. Between psukim, the Gemara is unsure about. And Rav Sheshes would be learning mishnayos during laning, and we noted that that goes against the Gemara and Sota. We quoted the Tosfos. Tosfos has three different ways to resolve that issue. And then the Gemara spends a lot of time on Shai Mikra Echa Targum. That takes us to the top of the Amud Beis of today's Daf. Various details within Shai Mikra Echa Targum. It's got to be Targum. We saw the Tosfos. Tosfos says specifically it's got to be Targum. You got to keep up with the Sedra. You can't go ahead. And you should try to finish by the end of the week. There's a Tosfos, which we didn't mention earlier. Tosfos does mention, it's the third Tosfos in the Amud Yashlim. He says that you should be finished with Shai Mikra Echa Targum by the time you're eating on Shabbos. We didn't mention it earlier. We also went through the various advice that was given by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to his sons, and by Ravas to his sons. And now we are going to continue the Gemara where we left off. And Tanya Amar Rabbi Gamliel. No, sorry. Next one. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Okay, we go back to our Mishnah. So now we're going all the way back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about the last time to say Shema. last time to say Shema is going to be three opinions in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's up until the Ashmaros Rishona, 4 hours into the night. According to the Chachamim, you have up until Chatzos. And according to Rabbi Gamliel, you have until Amud HaShachar. On all that, now the Gemara comments, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmo, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. The Halacha, in fact, follows like Rabbi Gamliel. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer. And now, for the remainder of the daf, we're going to be dealing with two brises, both quoting Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Now, despite the fact that our mission tells us that the last time that one could daven, the Shema of Mariv is up until Amud HaShachar. And seemingly, according to our Mishnah, there is no extension, and you cannot daven beyond Amud HaShachar. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. But as we're going to see now in the Braisa, there may be a way of extending the time of davening Kriya Shema of Mariv even a little bit later than that. So we start off with the first Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Omer, Pamim, Shadam, Kori, Kriya Shema, Shtei Pamim, Balayla. Person can be saying Kriya Shema twice during the night. Achas Kodem She'ala Amud HaShachar, V'achas La'achar She'ala Amud HaShachar. One before Amud HaShachar and the other one's after Amud HaShachar. V'yotze Ben Yedei Chavas Achas Shal Yom Achas Shal Laila. And despite the fact that he just said Shema twice, back to back, one could serve as a Shema for the night and the other one could serve as a Shema for the day. Just in terms of definition, Amud HaShachar is what we would call dawn. Exactly when is that? So the easiest way to say it, according to most poskim, is that it's 72 minutes before sunrise. So if sunrise is at 6, so Amud HaShachar is going to be at 4:48 in the morning. Okay? Between Amud HaShachar and Nates and sunrise, there's also a time called Mishiyakir, but for now, even though that's important, but for now, we'll keep it as simple as possible. And what Rabbi Shimon Yochai just taught us is that you're going to be saying Shema one time immediately before Amud HaShachar and one time immediately after Amud HaShachar, and you'll be Yotze with the Shema of the night and the Shema of the morning. Now, if you read Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Braisa carefully, so you're going to get a little bit confused. If you look at the beginning of the Braisa, it says, Pamim Shadam Kore Kriya Shema Shtei Pamim Balayla. So he's calling this time period night. So, and the Gemara immediately picks up on this, and the Gemara asks a question. Hagufa Kasha. Amar Pamim Shadam Kore Kriya Shema Shtei Pamim Balayla. Alma La'achar She'ala Amud HaShachar Laylahu. Now, it certainly sounds like even though it's post Amud HaShachar, so we're a little bit past dawn, and meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is calling that night. But in the very same braisa of Ahadu Tani, Yosef Ami Dechavaso, Achash Yom Vachash Laila. But meanwhile, if you're saying the Shema after Amud HaShachar, that will serve as your Shema for the day. Ama Yamamahu. So you see, that's part of the day. So the braisa is very confusing, so the Gemara seeks to clarify. Lo, La Olam, Laila. Who? Really, Amud HaShachar is really nighttime. The fact that it's called day, deikan shidikame ba'ishaita. So it's only because people get up at that point in time. Amar Rav Acha bar Chanina, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, halacha ki Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Now, the Gemara finishes up this first version by quoting Rav Acha bar Chanina, who says that the halacha in fact follows like the Rashbi, Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Now, even before we get to the next version, so the Gemara over here is problematic on a number of levels. First of all, the Gemara says that after Amud HaShachar, the Gemara says that the Braisa calls it night because most people are still sleeping at that point in time, and therefore it's night. And that's a little bit difficult because the Gemara Megillah tells us in Daf Chaf that after Amud HaShachar, that's considered day. That's not considered night. And so for our Gemara over here to describe it as night, very simply to call it night, that's a little bit difficult. And so there's a number of ways to address our Gemara, and it does get a little bit complicated in terms of the number of Rishonim that approach our Gemara. But if I could just say it as simply as possible, and a little bit oversimplifying, but basically it goes like this. In terms of what the parameters are for day and night, so and then maybe that by Shema, it doesn't follow the normal parameters of day and night. Why? Because when it comes to Shema, the Pasuk says, B'shach b'chav kumecha, when you lie down and when you wake up. So in terms of the Zman of Shema, it is not dependent on what's day and night, but rather it's dependent on time of Shechiva and the time of Kima. So that means to say that as long as it's the time when people are either going to bed or are already in bed, so that's Zman Shechiva, and therefore that's Zman Kriya Shema Shalayla. as long as it's the time that people are getting up, so that's the Zman, Kriyashma, of the Yom. And it really may be totally independent of what for other areas of Halacha would be considered Yom and would be considered Laila. And so the Gemara over here says that after Amud HaShachar is considered Yom, it's considered Laila, so it could just simply mean that vis-a-vis Shema, it's considered Laila, but vis-a-vis other areas of Halacha, it's considered Yom. That's a oversimplification, but that's basically a simple distinction to be made in this Braisa. Anyway, so in the Braisa number one, what we learned is that according to the Rashbi, so you say Shema immediately before Amud HaShachar and immediately after Amud HaShachar, and even though they were back-to-back, but because they were separated, a person could be Yotzei with the Kriya Shema of both the Shema of night and the Shema of the morning. Ika, the Masni Lahadar of Acha Bar Chanina, aha. Now some learn of Acha Bar Chanina on the following detail you will learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Akiva, Pamaim, was right the first time. Pamim Shadam Kor Kriya Shema Shtei Pamim Bayom. A person can be Yotzei with Shema two times during the day. Achas Kor Manitzachama V'achas L'achar Nitzachama. One before sunrise, one after sunrise. V'yotzei V'amidei Chavas V'achas Shoyam V'achas Shalayla. And he'll fulfill his obligation, one for the night and one for the day. Now, Haguf Akasha. Now, in the second Braisa, so the border over here is not Amud HaShachar. The border over here is Nitzachama, the sunrise. But it's basically the same point. We just moved the border. And if you're saying Shema right before Nates and right after Nates, so you're going to be Yotzei with the Shema of the night and the Shema of the day. Now, again, in this Braisa, it's the same problem we had in the previous Braisa. Just, it's the reverse. It's the inverse. Hagu Fakashi, Amar Pamim Shadam Korei Kriya Shema Shtei Pamim Bayom. Amar Kor Menetzachama Yamamahu. So we're calling it Yom, even though it's before Netzachama. And Vaha Hadar Tani Yotzei Bami Dechavaso Acha Shoyom Vacha Shalayla. And furthermore, additional to that, is that you're going to be Yotzei with the Shema of the night and Shema of the day. Well, Shema of the night, that's obviously nighttime. So I'm a Lailahu, so that means it's night. So as we turn now to the top of Testament, Alvalo, Olam Yamamahu. No, really, it's day. The Hai Dekarilu Laila, Deikain Shidiganu Ba'i Shaita. And the reason why it's called Laila is because people are still sleeping at that point in time. It's before Netzachama, and people are still sleeping, so it's still Zman Shkiva. And as a result of that, so you can still say the Shema of. If you have not at that point in time said Shema of the night, you could say it up until Netzachama, and you could be Yotzei with your Shema of Maariv. And again, I could say the same, make the same point here again as well. Meaning, how could it be that the Gemara over here refers to it as day, the time before Netzachama, when meanwhile you're saying the Shema of the night? So again, it's the same point that we made earlier, that the parameters of Shema are not necessarily the parameters of day. In other words, in other areas of Halacha, they'll say the time before Netzachama is day. But meanwhile, when it comes to Shema, because there are people still sleeping, so it still follows the guidelines, the definition of B'shach B'cha, and that's why for other Halachas it's day, but for Shema, we could still call it Shach B'cha. Okay, Ad Kan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up at the top of Tesamad Aleph.